tonight if you can. John, I asked him way back when everybody was feeling good, you know, nobody was sick, to speak, but the Lord just works that out sometimes. But he'll be here tonight to share the Word of God. I trust you can be here to hear him as he's growing in his ministry and serving the Lord. Verse number 19 is where we want to start. Verse 19 down to verse number 26. And just follow along. I'll read verses 19 down to verse 26. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny, whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Look again with me, please, at verse 21. These men who were sent out, the Bible calls them spies, they were sent to spy on Jesus, to pick out as many things as they could that Jesus did or said wrong. And verse 21 says they said something that was actually true, and they didn't even know it. It says, they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. The way of God. Have you ever found yourself going the wrong way? A woman was watching the news one night when it was reported that a car was going the wrong direction on the freeway. The woman knew her husband was on that freeway and became very concerned, so she called his cell phone. When he answered, she said, Dear, there's one car going the wrong direction on that freeway. One car, he shouted, there's hundreds of them going the wrong way. He was going the wrong way at the time. And we can find ourselves not in, as the Bible puts it, the way of God, going the wrong way. But we don't want to talk about the wrong way. We want to talk about the right way. Amen? The way of God. God says in his word, these men, they recognized, or at least in their words, they said, but teach us the way of God truly. That's what I want to share with us about. Four thoughts about the way of God today. And the title, if you're taking notes, is just simply The Way of God. The Way of God. And I trust the Lord will help us learn more about him and his way. Here we read a group of men who challenged the Lord Jesus. They sounded confident, but they looked at things the wrong way instead of the way of God. Are we looking at life, are the things that God has put in our hands, God's way or our way? Let's go ahead and ask his help before we go any further. Would you bow with me and I'll pray as we continue. Lord, thank you again that we can look in the Bible. Now I pray, Father, that you would give us spiritual strength, Lord, to see what you see. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can help us discern the truth, as your word tells us. So I pray the Holy Spirit would open our eyes, each one of us. And Lord, I pray for physical strength as I share your message today. I pray, God, that hearts would be challenged, hearts would be turned, Lord, that we would be turned away from things that might not be your way back to you. May you get the glory. If there's anyone, Lord, who needs Christ as their Savior with us this morning, we thank you they're here, but we also ask you to speak to their heart. Take away the blinds that Satan's put in their mind and help them to see the truth just as the Holy Spirit desires to show it. May you get the glory through all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The way of God. The Bible says in verse number 20, they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words. Number one, God's way will be watched. God's way will be watched. It's surprising, even today, after being in the building, I was talking with Jerry, how long we've been in the building, how long things have been going on. We've been in the building since 2009. What a blessing to be in God's house and call this our church home. Amen. But there's still people that I meet at family fair or wherever, and I ask them, where you go to church? They say, where do you go? Oh, yeah, I've seen that church. I've seen cars out in the parking lot there. What's going on there? I said, you need to come in and find out. Come on in and join us. We've always got room for one more car. Amen. One more soul, one more family. But tell them that, yeah, Jesus is working in there, and we'd love to see you work alongside us. God's way will be watched, you know, in your own neighborhood, your neighbors. If you know Christ as your Savior and your neighbors are still searching, or maybe they're not searching, maybe they want to be left alone in their sin, they notice what you do. They notice what you do. They know that you're not at your house this morning. And by the way, that's a good thing. Amen. That's a good thing. Your testimony shows. But God's way will be watched. And even in this short passage, we see how Jesus was scrutinized, the Son of God, by these men. First of all, the Bible tells us the Christian behavior is watched. The Christian behavior is watched. The sinner is excellent at finding the wrong in others. That seems to be a talent we don't have to go and learn. It's just natural for us, isn't it? The flesh has that natural desire. And the Bible says these men, sinners, were looking for what they could find wrong in Christ. It says the chief priests, verse 19, and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. You know, friend, if you know the Lord as your Savior, believers in Christ must walk. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 15, to walk circumspectly. What does that mean, circumspectly? To be aware of your surroundings. When I first got saved, I thought everybody would be excited. How many remember those days? I thought everybody would be excited that as a six-year-old boy, everybody would be excited. I asked Jesus to save me. Guess what? Not everybody was. As a matter of fact, most people were like, yeah, whatever. But that doesn't make it less important. Amen. It's just as important to share. But God says that we are to walk circumspectly, aware of the surroundings, with special attention to our behavior. Are we showing the Lord Jesus? The Bible says that he's a loving God, he's a holy God, he's a pure God, and he desires to see every soul come to Christ. Is that the message we share? And then the Bible says we are to edify one another, to build each other toward the mold of Jesus Christ, that our life fit his mold more and more each day. Christians' behavior is watched. The Christians' motives are watched. Take a look at verse number 19 again. Chief priests and scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words. The Christian's motives are watched. Now the sinner is convinced he can read hearts and minds. You ever met someone who felt like they know exactly what's on your mind? I know what you're thinking. You know, we can anticipate, we can observe, but the bottom line is, folks, you can't look into somebody's head and know exactly what's on their mind. We can express what's on our heart and mind, amen? God wants us to do that at times, but not to expect that we know what's on the heart. As a matter of fact, believers know that they can't know. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, as a parent, I wish I had this ability. Don't you, Mom and Dad? That we knew exactly what was on the children's heart and mind. Well, what happened? Well, let me start from the beginning. No, just tell me what happened. Well, it doesn't always work out that way, and we have to make right decisions based on what we see, because we can't read the heart and mind of others. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're looking at verse number 11. Verse number 11 there. Would you read that with me? Well, let me start with verse 10. Let's start with verse 10. 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's read that together, please. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The Christian motives are watched. So what does that mean? That your heart, my heart, needs to be in tune with Jesus. Did you know that Jesus' motives are always right? How many knew that? They are always right. Jesus never does something that is against his will or his word. He always does the right thing. Our desire needs to be the same as his. When our desire is the same as his, guess what? There's joy in our life. Amen? We're not walking apart from Christ. We're walking with him. The Christian's motives are watched. And then the third thing I see in verse 20 is this, that the Christian's words are watched. The words are watched. Again, verse number 20. And they sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. The Bible phrase there, feign themselves, means to pretend to be. They pretend to be righteous men. They pretend to be guys only looking out for the right thing. Well, the sinner justifies himself in using deception. Something interesting I read about Islam, which is not a Christian religion. How many knew that? It is not a Christian religion. It does not honor Jesus Christ. It does not pray to the God of the Bible. They have a made-up God. They call him Allah. And that God tells them through his writings, through the writings of Muhammad and others, that deception is an acceptable way to overcome your enemy. Deception is an acceptable way to turn someone to the following of Islam. Well, God never says that deception is any way that Jesus works with people. Amen? As a matter of fact, the Bible says in John 14, Jesus declared this, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Believers know that Jesus is the truth, and serving him includes the spiritual life and honesty. Honesty in our life. John 4, verse 24, when he was at the well meeting the woman there, sharing with her about the water of life. He said, if you take of this cup, you'll thirst again. But if you take of me, the water of life, you'll thirst no more. It'll be a spring springing up to everlasting. He said this in verse 24 of John 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. Honesty. The Christian words are watched. God's way will be watched. As a believer in Christ, that's something to consider and remember. But certainly it helps me understand why my behavior, my motives, and the very things I say matter to Jesus Christ. Because he wants to keep his testimony, right? Amen? His testimony is always worth honoring. And yet that helps by us walking the way he says to do. God's way will be watched. Number two, let's go back to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Verse 21, and they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? Number two, God's way will be questioned. God's way will be questioned. They asked him clearly, is there something that we can do to get out of paying the tax to Rome? Matthew chapter 22 records the same event. As a matter of fact, all the Gospels do. In Matthew 22, this is part of the explanation of who these guys are. In verse 16, it says, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. The Herodians were a group of people that supported the family of Herod as rulers, not Rome. They wanted to have that Jewish rule under Herod. And why they did, I don't know, because if you do some research on Herod, you find he was a wicked man, an evil man. He had his own family murdered in order to stay in power and all kinds of wicked things. But they believed in the here and now. They did not believe in a hereafter, a spirit that would continue on. And thus they lived a self-centered life. Most historians describe them as debauchery. meaning they would try to fulfill the flesh as much as possible, immoral, etc. They did not approve of taxation, and most especially from a Gentile government like Rome. That's the Herodians. That's the guys Jesus is standing before right here in Luke chapter 20. And they said, is it lawful? Is it lawful? Well, they began to question him. What were they questioning when they were looking to Jesus? Here's the first thing I think they questioned: the divinity of Jesus. They questioned whether Jesus himself was God or Messiah. The divinity of Jesus, however, calls us to submit to him. The divinity of Jesus calls us to submit to him. They despised the Roman rulers, but they would not accept God's ruler, Jesus Christ. Is he a ruler in your life? Is he authority that you submit to in your life? When Jesus is called Lord, it means he's the master. He's the master of all. We know he is the master, whether we recognize that or not. But have you submitted to him as the master of all? The things in your possession, the plans in your future, the very life that you live, is God in complete control of them? I'm finding, as a Christian, having been saved now for a few decades, it's a lifelong struggle to surrender and submit to God, especially on a daily basis. And God sees that. He wants to work through that. But these men, they did not recognize his divinity. Do you? Do you? You know, Jesus was more than just a man. He was more than just someone who grew up in Israel, out of Nazareth, who was born in Bethlehem. He was more than just a man who had a bunch of people follow him around and do amazing things, marvelous things. The Bible tells us that Jesus was and is God. He didn't stop being God, by the way, when he rose again. He was God from eternity past to eternity future, who was, is, and is to come. And because, as God, he went to the cross for your sin and mine, he paid the price with his shed blood, the precious blood of Jesus. He was buried, he rose again, and he proved that he can save you from anything. The divinity of Jesus calls us to submit to him. And Christian, the wisdom of Jesus calls us to follow him. Take a look at verse 22 again, please. The wisdom of Jesus calls us to follow him. Chapter 20 here, looking at verse 22. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. We can look back today, because we've had the Bible for all these years. God's preserved it for you and me to know how that conversation went. And it's obvious to us, well, that's the answer. But to them, it wasn't. To them and their blindness, and I'm telling you today, to some folks who have little or understanding of God and his word, it's a mystery that Jesus is a wise and loving God. That's where God has called you and me to get the word out. Amen. He's given us a Savior who is wise, and we are called to follow him. Acts chapter 4. Let's go there together, please. Acts chapter 4. Would you look there with me? Talking about how God's way is questioned, but yet he has answers for us too. Acts chapter 4, and look at verse number 13 with me, please. Here in Acts 4, Jesus now is not only resurrected, but he's ascended into heaven. He's now in glory, preparing a place for you and for me. What a blessing. He's been doing it ever since. He's been calling other souls, come and follow me, join me, receive me. Well, his disciples continued the ministry and began to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, share God's truth and Jesus Christ. And when they began to preach the gospel, preach Jesus Christ in the temple, well, the scribes and Pharisees had a problem with that too. But something interesting that the Bible says about Peter and John and all the other apostles, the disciples that were there, is that these men, these Pharisees, these priests, these other rulers of the Jews, who were men with education, maybe men with means. They were movers and shakers in town. Notice what it said when they looked at Peter and John. Verse number 13 of Acts chapter 4 says this: Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they what? Marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Friend, I don't know about you. You know, I'm not looking forward to the day that I go see Jesus face to face through death. I'd love to see him in the clouds, wouldn't you? That's the best way. That has not happened for all the saints up to this point. Whatever we do, however we go to see Christ, one of the things I would love to be known for, to be remembered by, is what John and Peter were known for, that they had been with Jesus. Could people say that about you? Could they say, man, there, here's Brother Mark. Man, he's a nice guy, but you know what makes him really nice? He's been with Jesus. He spends time with his Savior. Boy, that's a challenge, friends. The wisdom of Jesus. He calls us to follow him. Even unlearned and ignorant men, the Bible says, made those that are movers and shakers marvel, wonder. How can these guys have such boldness and such confidence? I don't know what ever happened to those particular men, but God certainly wanted to see him with him someday. God's desire is to see that all souls come to him in repentance and faith. How about you? God's way will be questioned. A wonderful thing that we find in Luke chapter 20, let's go back, is number 3, God's way has answers to our questions. Answers to our questions. He says, and he said unto them, verse 25, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. You see, we can't see the intents, but God can. God sees the intentions behind our actions. What is the intention the Lord wants us to have? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Let's go there. Colossians 3, 17. This is a verse we ought to have memorized. If you don't have it memorized, at least circle it, star it, highlight it, put a loudspeaker by it. It would be a good thing. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 17, please. Verse number 17. Would you read that with me? Colossians 3 and verse number 17. Let's read it together, please. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When I look at that phrase, in the name of the Lord Jesus, here's the picture I get. How many have ever purchased a garment at a store and it had a little tag in there that said it's inspected by number 12? Or number 2, or Jim, or whatever. How many of you ever got a garment that had a little tag that said inspected by, or approved by? Whoever inspected that garment, or whatever it was that you purchased, their job was to make sure that before it was sold, it was up to the standard that that particular garment was supposed to have. God's desire is for you and I to meet up to the standard of the name of the Lord Jesus. That the things we do that he can approve of through his name. And friends, what a shame it is to bring shame to Christ. Does that mean that our life is over? Does that mean as a Christian, man, I've messed up and, well, I got to go find a cave to go climb into and never do anything for God again? No, I'm so thankful for a God who receives us back when we confess sin and he's faithful and just to forgive us sin. Aren't you? That's what he does. That's what he does. He loves us. No matter what the situation, no matter what we've done, said, whatever, God says he wants you and I to follow the footsteps of Christ, that the things we do can be approved by his name. God sees the intentions behind our actions. Let's get them lined up with him. And secondly, God can use anyone or thing to show his way. Look at what Jesus used. What did he use here as a illustration in this passage? He didn't use the sky. He didn't use himself even. He used a little coin. The Bible calls it a penny. In the Bible terms, when we see the word penny, that was equal to a day's wage of the average laborer. The penny was something that they would earn for that particular day of work. Do you know that God wants the day for you? He wants the day from you so that you can honor and live for Him. John chapter 6 is a great chapter in the Bible. It's when the multitudes began to realize, hey, there's something interesting about this guy, Jesus. There's something interesting about this rabbi, the master. And they began to gather together. In John chapter 6, they gathered one day. And the Bible says at least 5,000 men plus women and children gathered together that day. Well, they were there for several hours. According to the scriptures, they were there for a long time. And the time to eat had passed already. And then it was going to be time to leave and go home. But folks were tired. They were hungry. And Jesus asked one of his disciples, where's the food? Did you guys bring the food? How many have ever heard what's the guy's name who has, he's in charge of all the food? Not the caterer, but it's some silly phrase. I'll come up with it tonight about 2 a.m, all right? But you guys were supposed to be in charge of that. Didn't you know we were going to be here for a while? Well, none of them had anything. And out of all those thousands of people, nobody brought anything except one. Turn with me, if you would, John chapter 6. Oh, how I love this story. In chapter 6, specifically, this points out the smallest thing can be used by Jesus. John chapter 6, starting in verse number 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that boy's mother, most likely who put his food together, did she expect her son to live the rest of his life on that package of meal? The barley loaves, the fishes. Did she expect him to last maybe a week on that? You can survive, you're a little kid, you don't need to eat a lot. No, she expected him to last for how long? One day. God multiplied it. You know the story, the 5,000 and plus were fed by that one little child, that one little boy's willingness to give God his day. Oh, it's a joy to give God your day. Amen? It's a joy. But let me share with you something the Bible tells us is a growing joy, and that is that Jesus desires to have all of our days. Turn with me, if you would, in the Bible, Romans chapter 12. To give God one day is such a joy, and to see Him work. But you know, God's desire is to have all of our days. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1 and 2 with me, please. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Does God get one day out of you this week? Or does He get them all? Does He get them all? That starts with us. The Lord's ready anytime. Amen? He's available. But yet He says, come to Me. Be a living sacrifice, acceptable. It's your reasonable service. It just makes sense. God says, you and I know that He has the answers, and let's give Him our life and our day. God's way has answers to our questions. A final thought I want to leave with you this morning in Luke chapter 20. Let's go to verse 26, please. Verse 26. The final thought here this morning is God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. Verse number 26 says this, and they could not take hold of His words before the people. And they marveled at His answer and held their peace. I like those words, marveled. We looked at it in Sunday school as well. The word marveled there means to gaze in wonder, to admire, to be in wonderment of. When they heard the words of Jesus, as simple as they sound to us, they marveled, the Bible says. You know, God's way is the best way. God's word confuses its attackers. When we hear the words of God, its attackers become confused. It takes away their abilities to attack. Mark Twain, the great writer, I enjoy reading some of his writings. They put a smile on your face. He was known for talking a lot about the Bible, but he was never known to be a Christian. And this might be the reason why. He was quoted as this: most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me are those I do understand. Those I do understand. God's word can confuse its attackers, but God's word can calm the Christian. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Peace. As in all churches of the saints. Is God's word a part of your life? Is following him, obeying him, part of your life? Is every day his? God says you and I can be in the best way if we follow God's way. Amen. The true story of the mutiny on the Bounty has often been retold. 9 mutineers with 6 native men and 12 native women settled ashore on Pitcairn Island, that's what it's called, in 1789. One sailor began distilling alcohol, and soon the colony became a place of immorality and even murder. 10 years passed by, and only one mutineer survived. His name was John Adams, along with a few of the native women and now illegitimate children on the island too. As they were going through an old chest from the Bounty, the ship that was still there, Adams found the ship's Bible. He began to read it and then to teach it to the others. The result was that his own life and ultimately the lives of those in the colony were changed. Pitcairn was discovered in 1808, almost 20 years later, by the USS Topaz. It had become a prosperous community with no jail, no alcohol, no crime. A church had been built and was the main building on the island. The true story of what God's word can do, can change a life if we are willing to let him change us. The Bible says in Psalm 118, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Are you willing to surrender to God's way today? Heavenly Father, I pray, help us to see what you see in our own hearts, Lord. Our behavior, Lord, our submission, that we're looking to Jesus as our authority, Lord, and simply seeking you and knowing it's the best each day, every day. Oh God, I pray, help us to make a decision based on what you say today. Lord, if there's again one soul that needs Christ, I pray this would be that day that they call on the Savior, that they receive Christ, and they begin their new walk and new family life with Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can I ask you a couple questions and then I'll be done? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're able, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. That is not my desire. But I'd like to ask you, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? Are you here this morning, friend, and you know Jesus as your Savior, and yet there's areas of life, as we saw in the Scriptures, our behavior, our motives, the things that you and God, me and God, know about. Are they surrendered and submitted to him? Why not today? If not, why not today? And give him that start. If you're here this morning, you know you do not know Jesus as Savior. Friend, you can have a personal life and personal relationship with the God who created everything. And it can start today. If that's your need, I want to invite you to come and look in the Scriptures together. I'll look in the Bible with you. And we can see what God has for you. The new life in Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you are able, would you stand with me, please? If not, you do not have to, but if you are able, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we're going to sing in just a moment. When she begins to play, would you respond and seek out God's way today? God's way. Lord, I haven't given you this day, but I'm going to give it to you right now. Lord, I haven't followed through with this, but I want to follow through right now. As she begins to play, why don't you respond?